but I couldn't let it go on. I had to do something. Look, I said, and pointed at the monitor. My finger trembled, and my voice came out as a ghost of a whisper. I tried again, jabbing my finger at the monitors and half-shouting, look, at the jailer. He glanced up at me, tilted his head, and frowned. I saw some colors starting to bleed into his face, but that didn't matter now. I continued pointing at the monitors and tried to step closer to them. Look at the screens, my God, man. By now, my voice was coming out in a high, panicky tone. I pressed as close to the monitors as I could, yelling, excited. I should have known better, of course. Wizards and technology simply do not mix, especially when the wizard's heart is pounding like the floor of a basketball court and his guts are shaking. The monitors burst into a frantic display of static and snow, flickering images sometimes visible, sometimes not. The guard gave me a disgusted look and turned around to glance at the monitors. He blinked at them for a second, while the man in the monitor titled Murdoch died in flickering, poor reception. What the hell's wrong with those things now? Jailer complained, and he took off his glasses to clean them. There's always something going wrong with the damn cameras. I swear it isn't worth the money they cost to keep fixing them. I frantically backed up from the monitors. They're dying, I said. God, you've got to let those men out of there before it kills them. The man nodded. Mm-hmm. Tell me about it. Just goes to show you how smart the city is, right? I stared at him for a second. He put his glasses back on to give me a polite, bored smile. His colors had gone back to black and white, and I must have looked like a dull, humdrum old janitor to him once again. The potion had blended my words into something that the guard's brain would accept without comment and let pass. Just boring, everyday conversation like you have with people 90% of the time. The potion was fantastic. Way too good. Look at the monitors, I screamed in frustration and fear. He's killing them.
The monitors won't stop you doing your job, the guard assured me. I'll just buzz you in.
And with that, he pressed a button somewhere behind the plexiglass window and the security door that led into the hallway of cells, made a humming sound, clicked, and swung 3 or 4 inches open. Screams poured out of the cells, high sounds that you wouldn't think could come from a man's throat. Panicked and terrified, there was a horrible wrenching sound, a screech of protesting metal, and one of the screams peaked at a quivering, violent point, then dissolved into a strangled mishmash of sounds, of tearing and snapping and popping, of gurgling and thudding. And when they were finished, something big, with a cavernous, resonating chest, snarled from not 10 feet beyond the security door. I shot a glance to the guard, who had stumbled to his feet and was grabbing for his gun. He headed out of his station, opened the door that led to the antechamber, presumably to investigate. No, I shouted at him, and threw myself at the security door. I sensed, rather than saw, something else on the other side of the wall, heading for the exit. I could hear its breath, feel its massive motion through the air, and hurled my shoulder against the door, slamming it forward, just as something huge and strong thrust a paw through the doorway. The edge of the steel security door slammed forward onto the paw, a member that was neither wholly a paw or a hand, but somewhere in between, tipped with huge black claws and drenched in wet, dark blood. I heard the creature on the far side of the door, only 3 inches of steel away, snarl in a fury and hatred so pure as to be painful to hear. Then it started shoving at the door. The first shove was tentative, but though I strained with all my strength, it slapped me back a foot across the room. My boots slipped on the tile. That paw hand turned, and the talons sank into the steel door in a sudden snapping motion as the thing took hold of it and started wrenching it back and forth in berserk anger. Help me! I shouted at the guard, struggling to force the door closed. The jailer blinked at me for a second, then flooded with color.
You! He said. My God! What is happening?
Help me close this door. We're both dead, I snarled, continuing to push forward with every ounce of strength I could summon.
At the far side of the door, the loup-garou gathered its weight and hurled itself against the door just as the guard rushed forward to help me. The door exploded inward, throwing me back like a doll, past the guard, who stumbled back through the door that led behind the counter where he'd been sitting and fell to the ground. My upper back hit the barred door that led out to the hallway, eliciting an instant flash of hot agony from my wounded shoulder. There was a snarl, and then the creature that had been Harley MacFinn came through the doorway. The loup-garou was a wolf, in the same way that a velociraptor is a bird. Same basic design, vastly different outcome. It must have been 4 or 5 and a half feet tall at the tip of his hunched shoulders, and was wider than a wolf, as though a wolf had been squashed down with an extra 500 or 600 pounds of muscle. The pelt was shaggy, jet black and matte, except where fresh blood was making it glisten. Its ears were ragged, upright, focused forward. It had a muzzle that was too wide to belong to anything natural, a mouthful of teeth, and MacFinn's blazing eyes done in monochrome gray. The whole stained with blood that looked black beneath the influence of the blending potion. Its limbs were disproportionate, though I couldn't say whether they were too long or too short, just wrong. Everything about it was wrong, screamed with malice and hate and anger, and it carried a cloak of supernatural power with it that made my teeth hurt and my hair stand up on end. The loup-garou came through the door, swept its monochrome gaze past me, then turned to its left with unholy grace and flung itself at the jailer. The man got lucky. He stood up and saw the creature as he was regaining his feet, then convulsed in a spasmodic reaction to the sight of the fanged horror. The reaction threw him a few inches out of the loup-garou's path. He scrambled back behind the counter and out of my sight. The loup-garou turned to pursue the jailer behind the counter, slowed because it had to shoulder its way between the counter and the wall, making the counter buckle outward into the room. The jailer got to his feet, gun in hand, took a credible shooting stance, and emptied the pistol's clip into the loup-garou's skull in the space of maybe 3 seconds, filling the little antechamber with a sound of thunder and drowning out the cries of the prisoners in their cells in the hall beyond. The monster kept coming. The bullets bothered it no more than a fly ramming the forehead of a professional wrestler. It rose up as the guard screamed, "No! No! 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 No!" And then it fell upon him, claws and fangs slashing. The jailer tried to run where there was no place left to go, and the thing turned its head and sank its jaws into the small of the man's back, releasing a spray of blood. The jailer screamed and grabbed frantically at the console, but the loup-garou shook its head violently from left to right, tore him from the console, and hurled him to the floor behind the counter. I didn't see the guard die, but I saw the way the blood flew up over the haunched, gnarled shoulders of the loup-garou to decorate the walls and the ceiling. I felt silently grateful when the bent and warped panes of plexiglass became obscured with scarlet. It was sometime right around then, as paralyzing agony seared through my shoulder and terrified prisoners screamed and cried out to God or Allah to save them, that I noticed that a new noise had been added to the din.